This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh no, we got a problem. Let me just see. Talk to me. Oh, for God's sake. Got a problem on Leanne's mic again. What is going on with your microphone? Hang on. I'm going to find this problem.
There we go. Oh, there's an unplugging. There's a putting back in.
No, wait.
No? Oh.
Kill me.
Now it's going underneath the desk for the microphone. It's a cable. Oh. See, this is why I say DIY means destroy it yourself to me.
God damn it. I'm trying to fix Leanne's microphone here. For the last couple of mornings in a row, it's been good, and then it suddenly goes crazy. What do you even say about that?
Shockingly inappropriate for what's happened in this matter. Shockingly inappropriate.
Well, the frustrating thing is that we don't get a clear answer as well.
Hey, I saw Harry Nell the other day at the gym.
Oh, you guys clubbed the gym, but together.
No, he was at the gym. I walked in and there was Harry Nell on the sub machine.
Does he look relaxed?
Yeah, he actually looks young. Like compared to, you know, when he's all dressed up as an advocate.
Grey and boring cloak.
Yeah. He looks fit as well. Guy's in good shape. I mean, clearly, you know, this is the funny thing about people. It's like I've realized people who are extremely mentally on the edge. You know, like they work all the time. They're always learning. They're always improving their minds.
Mm-hmm. Always challenged.
Usually do that in other spheres of their life too. Like they, and I mean, it isn't a general rule, but it seems to apply in a lot of cases that those same people are the ones who like physically put themselves through a lot and emotionally they put themselves through a lot too. It's an observation. I mean, it's probably inaccurate, and if you think it's wrong, you can tell me so. And by the way, you know how phones work, right? 0861-555-189. You get straight on the air. There's no waiting, no messing around. So if you're up, you've got a story, you've got a comment, you've got a question, this is your chance to be a part of the show, especially if you listen to us for, oh, I don't know, 4.5, almost 5 years. We turn 5 on the 1st of May. Can you believe that?
That's a child almost ready to...
Ready for school, big school.
Well, my nephew turned 5 the other day, and 5 is big. You're starting to understand the world. You start to make sense. You can have a conversation with a 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with a 2, 3, or 4-year-old. They're too little.
No, you just need to bribe him at that age with sweets and stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, because your nephew's what, 7, 8?
I know.
You sound like a pedophile.
Bribe them with sweets.
I don't drive with no windows. Calm down.
Do pedophiles all have white vans with no windows?
You have to. When you buy a car, you've got to tick the pedophile box, and that's the car you get. Ah. Same when you go to the optometrist.
Like
you
a panel
van. Pedophile glasses.
Oh. With the masking tape in the middle.
Yeah.
That's the standard procedure.
So we're 5 in May. I can't believe that. And if you want to call us, you can put it on your phone, 0861-555-189.
Kheri's 58.
Oh, is that how old Kheri is?
Yes.
Okay, he's not so old.
The one who we haven't heard of from many a year, Masipa, Judge Masipa.
Oh, yeah, how's Judge Masipa?
She's 71 and Barry is 63.
Okay. Bariru.
And do you know who's 65 today?
Who?
Oprah Winfrey.
So Oprah's birthday is the week before yours.
Which shows even more how connected we are. Not even a week, a couple of days.
I don't even try anymore. I just tell people this is, he's Oprah's son. And they go, oh, okay. They believe me.
This is Oprah's son, Sia.
We were at a law firm last week and you did that.
Mm-hmm. And they all went, oh, okay.
And we move on as it's absolutely normal. Yes.
So, funny thing happened yesterday. Magnus Haystack, he's an economist. He's a regular commentator. I read a lot of his columns. He writes excellent stuff and he's always very good in interviews. He was here to record with the Renegade Report. And he walked into the office and I said, hey, Magnus, huge fan, because I haven't seen him in years, years and years and years. So he said, hey, nice to see you. He said, not so thin anymore.
Oh.
But what he meant was...
Not scrawny.
Yeah, I think he meant not scrawny. Anyway, I don't take these things personally. So I said to him, yeah, you're looking great too. You know, joking.
Yeah.
He must have taken it seriously and thought I was insulted. Because he tweeted.
Oh, no.
Because he has no other way to get hold of me, right? So he was obviously feeling bad about this until yesterday afternoon. So weird. And so unnecessary. Like, he didn't need to feel bad, you know? The guy had nothing to worry about. He says, when I said you used to be a skinny one, I did not mean you've put on weight, but muscles, well done.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, dude, you don't have to worry. He obviously thought I was upset.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Yeah, so now I have to have a conversation with him, because clearly if he tweeted that, I mean, also a dumb thing to do to put it on Twitter, because...
No one else was there when the conversation was
No one else knows what was going on there, so they're all confused.
Well, he clearly feels bad, and then there's no other way to reach you, but now he's making a mountain out of a molehill. Have you responded?
No. I mean, how am I going to respond? I don't want to tweet to him.
No, just leave it, I think.
You think I should just leave it?
Yeah, it was a whole weird misunderstanding.
Because what will the response be at this point?
Yeah, I would just say to him,
no offense was taken. Or
yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah. Or just
a thumbs up.
Can't wait to hear you on the Renegade Report.
Just, whatever. Yeah, put in some marketing for the company
awkward
as well.
Turtle sign.
Oh, it's fine. We have all of these awkward moments all the time. I cringe sometimes.
So, 0861555189. There's nothing better than calls first thing in the morning, so you can give us a call, tell us what you're up to.
It's so chilly in here.
Oh? You want me to turn off the aircon?
No, I think I'm going... I was trying to...
Are you getting sick?
I was explaining this to Leanne earlier. I think
your biodome.
My house has a very distinct temperature, which is not like the outside world, which is not like my car. Believe it or not, I had to put the heater on while I was driving in this morning. And now I get in here and I'm all decked out in a hoodie, but now I feel hot. So I just don't know. Maybe I'm going through menopause. Never mind.
You just said you were cold 2 seconds ago.
I'm going through menopause. That's all. It all makes sense soon. Oh, okay. I'll be fine.
Really?
Yes.
Menopause.
It's a real thing, and I tell you guys all the time.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing. That's what it is.
Well, my mother,
I've gone through menopause. In other words, pausing men.
She's put pause on men.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who we've got coming in today? Onkopotse JJ Tabane, who is of course a broadcast journalist, one of South Africa's leading media and communication specialists, a community activist, business executive, and one person who isn't shy to talk about everything.
Mm.
I'm very pleased that he's coming to spend some time with us this morning. So we'll talk to him. He also, remember, he had that big fight with Power 987. And he's not afraid to take on people he disagrees with, which I always like.
To say the least.
Yeah, and then there's these two actors popping by, a guy called Wayne Van Rooyen, Jacques Blino. They are on a mission to help people aspire higher. So we're going to find out from them maybe a little motivation for
Siva Dillon.
Oh, they're from Seven Dillon? Yeah, well, I honestly don't watch TV anymore. But I was thinking about this because I got into a conversation over the weekend with two women. I met these two amazing TV executives from America. They were out here on holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Between them, they were the commissioning producers for General Hospital at its height.
Okay, yeah.
Which was one of the biggest shows on TV.
And didn't that have George Clooney back in the day?
Correct.
Yeah.
No, was ER.
Oh.
They commissioned All of My Children, which was a huge US soap opera. And they were talking to me about how, and a bunch of others, but about how soap operas have died completely in the US. They've died because of the audience dying. I'll explain in a second. But they commissioned a bunch of the most successful soap operas. And you know, in South Africa, we're still obsessed with soap operas.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Well, you know who watches them is mostly housewives and older women, right? Well, mostly.
My mom has now got into The Queen because, you know, of course, she's sitting at home still recovering. And her carers put on the telly, so now she's watching whatever comes they her watch. Way. And now she knows all the characters, all the drama.
The Queen of Mzansi Magic.
Yes.
That stars Rami Chwene, and it's about like these two.
Oh yeah, Rami's family, in it. That's
yeah,
right.
Two
yeah.
family rivals, and one's a drug dealer. So that is what your mother's taking yes. in. Drug dealers and violence. Great. Great.
Well, the best thing about these soap operas, right, was that you could, and I remember when I was a kid, they were on TV in the afternoons when you get back from school, and you could join in at any time and you would be able to pick up the threads.
Even if you 4 years later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd still know the characters, and I'm talking about Bold and the Beautiful and Santa Barbara before that, and Days of Our Lives. Yeah. Yeah. Days of Our Lives. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I think it's still running.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Days of Our Lives and Bold and the Beautiful are still running.
Wow.
It was my favorite. Was
Bold and the Beautiful must be thousands of years old. I mean, that's just. Here's your song, dear. I mean, this was on in the afternoons that I got back from school. In like primary school, I think.
Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. And it featured Robin Wright, who was in. Yeah, she was this gorgeous 20-something-year-old. Now, of course, she's this beautiful 40 or even 40, 50-something-year-old.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. I mean, this woman. She's in House of Cards.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Days of Our Lives has more than 13,500 episodes.
13,500?
If you want to be particular, as of Jan the 28th, 519 episodes.
I mean, this made people's day, you know? Like, there were people who just lived vicariously through these soap stars because they have boring lives. And the soap stars seem to have much more interesting lives full of love and lust and, you know, all these good-looking... Because these two women were saying they used to have auditions and they'd always have prospective male and female young actors and actresses pitching up at the studios, like looking for work.
Casting.
And hoping to be put in the soap opera, because it's usually the first step to eventually getting into TV and movies, you know, in the mainstream. And they'd have all these really good-looking girls and these really good-looking guys, and they'd pitch up and hang around the studio, basically. So their job was so hard, these two ladies are telling me. Anyway, so soap operas... The reason soaps have died in America, and they really have, they're spectacularly unsuccessful now compared to how they were in the late 80s, early 90s, even up to the mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Because that audience have died or moved on.
I used to watch Loving with My Gran. She passed away many years ago. So I can fully understand that.
Well, also, the soap opera has moved into the real world. So now your soap opera is Instagram or Facebook.
The Kardashians.
It's your actual friends. You can watch their lives unfold. You can see their kids' pictures. You can hear about their weddings. You wouldn't want to watch strangers who you know are fictional characters when you can watch the real soap opera or reality TV, which of course took its place.
But I think also the downfall of the soap genre is that they didn't really move with the times. Now, I think like what certain popular TV series that we now all binge watch have done correctly is that ability to move with the times, and they make things more exciting and they have bigger budgets. If you watch The Bold and the Beautiful today, you will still find just someone in a hospital bed and the entire
always in
family
they always have
is around.
There's some things about this that are always the same. There's always hospitals.
Yeah.
There's always like... three-way love affairs that have gone wrong.
There's always
a jealous ex or
a rich family
and a poor family,
and then a little girl from the poor family falls in love with the rich boy from the, you know, like, it's, come on guys. And then you're trying to compete with Game of Thrones with massive
in the
budgets.
One she was possessed, there were demons and things.
Yeah, I remember that. That actually got me interested for a while. I was a major fan for a little while.
Then people die and they come back to life, and
yeah,
then people
that's
get
where it
married
gets,
nine times.
Yeah, so it gets completely ridiculous, right? Madness.
I can't imagine, you know, Netflix taking on Bold and the Beautiful and we're trying to binge watch. Not going to happen.
No. And then, of course, you know, because they go on for so long, the actors and actresses change. So they just suddenly announced one day on all these shows. They would just, you'd be watching your favorite soap, I suppose. And then suddenly someone would pitch up and go, the role of whoever yes. will now be played by. And you're like, what?
And you just had to adjust.
Yeah. What you, but we liked her. No, the role will now be played by this woman. Oh. Fuck.
And then the kid was like, it was a newborn and now it's like four.
That'd suddenly be much older.
All except for Catherine Kelly Lang.
Who's that again?
Brooke.
Oh, Brooke from Bold and the Beautiful.
She's still the same.
Isn't she was hot, huh? Well, yeah. In her time, she was hot. She was, wasn't she here in South Africa visiting a while ago?
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
She's still lovely.
Yeah, not as lovely.
Oh.
She's not as lovely.
What? Well, neither are you.
I know.
As told
fucking
by
telling me.
Magnus.
Just ask Magnus Haystack. Yeah. No, Catherine Kelly Lang, that was Brooke from Bold and the Beautiful.
She was the one who was possessed.
No, dude. She wasn't possessed.
One of them.
That was in Days of Our Lives. I mean, who knows, but yeah, I think it was Days of Our Lives. Anyway, just interesting to talk soap operas because in this country, of course, they're still huge.
Mm.
Generations, Isidingo, Seven Delon, Bold and the Beautiful. I don't know which other ones are showing, but I haven't watched TV, live TV in such a long time. I actually don't know what's particularly on in daytime. I really don't know. Like I'll sometimes have the news on and that's it.
You've got to go looking for content now. It's not like the old days where you turn on a channel and watch the channel and just consume whatever was fed to you.
Mm.
Yeah,
It's the same with radio. No one listens to one channel and just takes whatever comes.
Sean says, I watched that period of Marlena's possession on her possession on Days of Our Lives with my gran during a school holiday.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you see? Nobody's forgotten that one. That was a good storyline. They should have had more of those demon possessions. Shit would have gone a lot more interesting, huh? Don't you think?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I see that time of soaps, I was still being kicked out of the room. Just if Bo and Hope were to start making out. It was like, cover your eyes or get out.
Yeah. Those were the days people would start kissing on TV and my mom would go, have you done your homework? No. And still to this day, when my brother and I are watching something together, we go, have you done your homework?
Just because it got sexy. Yeah. Sexy on screen and you couldn't handle it?
No, oh, as soon funny. As there were the kissing noises, that was it. Oh, so awkward.
What noises, Leanne?
No, not doing it again.
That is your new claim to fame, by the way. You somehow get noises spot on. You can just gladly do that.
I was reading this article yesterday on the most secure places in the world, as in the most secure sites in the world. I want to talk about that later on, but we're not going to have time now. Just about these super, super secure locations in the world where they either store gold or where people would go in the case of a national emergency and where you can withstand electromagnetic pulses and it's got huge steel doors and you know where these places are located and who would have access to them and that kind of thing. It's fascinating.
Mm.
And by the way, I see Helen Ziller's getting very serious about this tax revolt. Now, if there's anyone who could lead a tax revolt, it's her. First of all, I think a lot of the people who pay taxes, like Helen Ziller, because she's a property rights enthusiast, for want of a better word. And we know that she means what she says and she does what she says. She's got some integrity in that respect. She may be a terrible tweeter, and she's really shit at that. But this woman has principle. And if she says she's going to lead a tax revolt, I think the government better look out because she's unafraid.
Yeah.
She's totally unafraid. And there, you've got to dig and dig and dig to find anything about Helen that is even close to the kind of filth and corruption that we're seeing coming out of Basasa at the moment.
Mm.
And I think like a lot of people, she's just watching this situation going, I don't see why anyone should pay tax to a government that is stealing money like this. And I mean, it's something I've been saying for a long time, but I'm not as powerful as Helen Ziller. So if there's anyone who can make this happen, it's her. So I retweeted her the other day saying this is a good idea because she said she would lead this tax revolt. So someone, I hardly ever go onto Twitter anymore, but someone replied to that and said, so you're saying destroying the nation is a good idea? I'm sorry. Destroying the nation is taking tax money and putting it in your own pocket if you're a politician.
Yeah.
A tax revolt or a withholding of tax, like let's find the legal structure that we can create to put that tax money in until the government is clean enough to give it to them. That's a different thing. That's actually solving the problem. Withholding money from thieves is not destroying the nation.
Yeah.
And I'm very, very sorry, but there's absolutely no indication from the ANC that they have any desire to clean things up. There's none. I mean, they can't even admit that Nomvula Mokonyane was on the take. They're protecting her. You know, there seems to be some kind of, there's a system, you could call it honor, but I don't know if that's the right word. There is honor among thieves because they protect each other.
Yeah.
And we know a lot of these people have stuff on each other, right? That's one of the reasons Jacob Zuma was so powerful, is because he knew everybody's secrets. He knew who everybody had slept with. He knew who'd taken money from where. He had an overview. As the former intelligence boss of the ANC, he had an overview of what was going on. So he knew where people's weak spots were. So he could squeeze them if needed. And therefore they wouldn't turn on him because they knew he had that information. And now it's all coming out anyway.
Well, that now infamous Batabile Dlamini clip. Mm,
small Anyana skeleton.
There we go.
Well, it seems like it's happening. Anyway, so Brendan says a tax revolt's a good idea, but big business won't participate, so it won't happen. Crypto Tryhard says, I don't think a tax revolt will work. Government will just offset the tax loss on food and petrol, etc., and people will lose this fight. Well, yes, but you turn off the taps. Remember, even if you take food and petrol and all the, and VAT and everything else, remember that 60 to 70% of South Africa's total tax generation is through personal income tax, not through companies. So actually, Brendan and Crypto Tryhard, you're wrong. You haven't looked at how the tax system works in this country. If individual taxpayers stopped paying income tax, they'd have a major, major problem. They would not be able to afford anything. And then they'd have to go around borrowing money, because even if you hike the taxes, people will find ways to spend in different ways. I mean, they'll grow their own stuff, or they'll stop doing what they have to do to get the I mean, listen, there are ways that you could, for example, you could say to your employer, I'll take a smaller salary so I fall into a different tax bracket, and we pay me in different ways. Pay me with you know, help me with my cell phone bill, for example. Mm. I mean, people will figure out stuff.
There are always loopholes.
Yeah, because the thing about business and about enterprising people is they're always smarter than the government. Always. And I don't know if you've seen what's happening in Venezuela, but that we'll also get into a bit later on. In any case, it is 6:30, so the five things you need to know today. Where do we want to start?
Well, I think with number one.
Okay.
Okay.
I sometimes like to start with three, but fine. You want to be difficult? We'll start with number one. And shall we go chronologically? I mean, you know, while you're being boring, we may as well, right?
I'm always compliant.
Mm. So compliant.
I should have been a compliance officer.
Look at well, you.
Well, believe it or not, yesterday was World Data Privacy Day. Aren't you excited? What did you do to celebrate World Data Privacy Day?
I gave my data away by signing up a new account.
Yeah, well, civil rights group Right to Know says lax personal information laws grant the state security agency and the private and public sectors unlawful access to personal data. I don't know about this anymore. I've just come to realize that, you know, people have all this info anyway. What are you going to do? Like, I'm just happy to just go in there. Just have my information. I don't care.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same.
You know, am I going to put up a huge fight? Stop using social media.
No.
Build firewalls and go on VPN every time I want to do something.
It's like when you're standing in a queue in a shopping center, people can see everything about you. That they're staring at you from behind. They're taking in what you've done with your toenails, what sort of shoes you wear, what your hair looks like.
If people want to know that shit about me, go ahead. I mean, that's so boring.
The world's
I don't even
so
keep
open
records.
How yeah. can you can't hide stuff anymore.
Anyway, Right to Know's Tamin Nkosi says the data of all South Africans is compromised because of years of delays in getting the information regulator operational. The group says while the Protection of Personal Information Act of 2013 should protect the data of South Africans, it's not been properly enforced. The Office of the Regulator only started advertising for staff in September last year, causing major delays in the implementation of the Poppy Act. It's like FICA, though. I mean, everybody has to FICA. You will not believe the amount of bullshit paperwork you have to do just to get a cell phone contract, right? Isn't it ridiculous?
Yeah.
And what happens? You think they could have traced these Basasa cash payments? Clearly not. So what good is FICA? Isn't it meant to prevent white-collar crime? Well, it didn't prevent Basasa from doing what they were doing. So what's the point? Scrap the whole thing. Scrap FICA. It's a waste of time.
Fuck FICA.
Right. Thank you, Leanne.
That sounds like a great dish.
Well, there's your...
Just while you're on this topic,
uh-huh.
I picked up on an article that there is a serious problem at the moment with iOS, and that is...
iOS?
Yes.
Oh, Apple's operating system?
Uh-oh.
If I phone you on FaceTime...
Yes?
Before you answer, I can already see you and hear you. Yeah.
No, wait.
It's a huge stuff-up. A major bug has been discovered in iOS that lets a caller hear and see a person on the other end of a FaceTime call before the call has been answered. It's a massive security screw-up. Means you can take a digital peek into another person's life completely without their knowledge.
Ay, ay, ay.
So this is one of the reasons why people put a sticker over their front-facing cameras. And FaceTime has literally said, well, iOS has said this week that, well, Apple, that you need to actually put a sticker on your phone if you use FaceTime.
Wow. Oh, no, it's
so
not
in other words... In other words, it could be like if Gareth was calling me, I could go, oh, I really don't want to speak to this bastard right now.
Or you could be in the bath. You could be in the bath. Like, yes. And then your tits are out for me to see. I'm going to phone you on FaceTime tonight. What time do you bath?
All day.
You see, I was going to say it's not a problem because, like, I FaceTime people I like, you know? So I know the feeling is mutual. But I just thought you could FaceTime, like, your crush. Find out what they're doing.
Ooh, then you can see them now. This is very bad. I think Leanne might have tipped some people off.
Isn't this the moment when people are getting ready for work and I'm there in the shower and then I'll say I butt-dialed them.
Other stories in the news this morning. The Northern Cape Health Department is going to formulate a plan to deal with overcrowding at the Robert Mangalisosa Bukwe Hospital. This follows reports of patients sleeping on the floor while waiting for medical treatment at the Kimberley facility. That's in the Northern Cape. I mean, my God, what a disaster. Apparently, they can hardly deal with the number of people that they've got coming to the hospital. It sounds just terrible.
Jeez.
They will introduce a district health services plan, which will allow stable patients in district hospitals to be treated at specialist clinics across the province. The Kimberley Mental Health Hospital will start operating once provincial government funds are finalized before the end of next month. Again, government just handling everything beautifully.
Mm.
Really good at what they're there to do. And then I think this is kind of disturbing and maybe deserves a little more than just the headline this morning. But an ANC MP, Tasneem Motara, has turned to social media to disclose that she is HIV positive. She says in her Facebook post, she's going public because her former partner, who she was in a relationship with for 6 years, has threatened to reveal her status. Now, you know what? Anyone who does this, who's going to out you for your HIV status, is going to come out, I think, the public's going to hate them a lot more than they'll hate you.
For sure.
Because it's not the worst thing in the world to say that you have HIV. And even in communities that are very conservative, I think people have realized, like, you can live
forever.
Correct. You can get on AZT and you can have a very meaningful, full life. There are people in very high positions who've got HIV and who are very open about it. People like Justice Edwin Cameron. And I don't think there's certainly not from my point of view, the stigma that there used to be with HIV, but the kind of person who would threaten to reveal your status to the public is just the most disgusting kind of person. So she had to put out this this tweet. She says, "Dear world," this is on Saturday, "so someone is threatening to reveal my status to you all, but let me save him the hassle of doing it. I have nothing to hide, but also some things are not necessary to share with people. It doesn't affect." Now, I couldn't agree with her more.
Mm.
I mean, if Leanne has a miscarriage and she decides not to share that with everybody, that's entirely her prerogative.
Yeah.
If Sia has a lover and he's not marrying that person and it's nobody's business whether he is or isn't, why would that be everybody's business?
Mm.
And in this case, with Tasneem Murtara, what business is it of everybody else in the world if she has HIV or not? Who does it affect? Just her. She says, "But since I'm being threatened, let me do it. Because I don't take kindly to threats. I'm HIV positive and I have been for 8 years now, possibly more. I was infected by my former partner who kept his status from me. I committed to never keep it from anyone." So good for her. I mean, I don't think that she should be embarrassed. I don't think anyone's going to treat her any differently. Not good people. You know what they say? There's that line from Dr. Seuss, right? The people who mind don't matter. And the people who matter don't mind.
Mm.
True.
Got to remember that, Tasneem. So there we go. I mean, we'll forgive you for a minute for being an MP, because politicians I have very little sympathy for. But you know what? I was going to talk about Zim, but I'm going to leave it out. I just really, I don't know what to say about Zim anymore. It's a clusterfuck. That's all I can tell you. Really, that's all I can
say. That's a concise update.
Yeah, I mean, what a disaster, right? And anyone who actually stands up for ZANU-PF anymore has got to be sent to the gulag. It's just an unconscionable thing to do to imagine that this is a competent government in even the most basic sense. I promise you now that there are animals that can be trained to run governments better than ZANU-PF has run Zimbabwe. And that's not saying too much. My dog is smarter than most of the people who've run the ZANU-PF government and Zimbabwe into the ground over the last 35 years. Into the ground. There is nowhere for people to go anymore.
No.
There is no money in the system. It is a colossal fuck-up. And guess what? There's no one else to blame. You can't blame the people of Zimbabwe. They've been strangled, squeezed for every drop. You can't blame expatriate Zimbabweans because they were going out because they were so desperate to put food in their stomachs they had to leave and come to South Africa or go elsewhere. I mean, there's a diaspora of Zimbabweans all over the world. You can't blame the Western world, as you are wont to do, because guess what? If you didn't have dollars flowing into your economy, there wouldn't be an economy to speak of for the last 5 years, let alone now where it's all dried up. You cannot blame the opposition parties, because the opposition parties can't get their act together either. There's no one to blame but you. Look in the mirror, Emmerson Mnangagwa, and see what you've done. And look in the mirror and see all those people who came before you, all those cronies in Robert Mugabe's government. And I hope everybody else in South Africa is paying attention.
Yeah.
I hope our government are paying attention, because it all starts with these Basasa payments and this new elite, this oligarchy that we've established in the ANC, where if you're connected politically, you're looked after. Someone brings you a box of meat or packets of groceries or a 50 grand cash payment in a Louis Vuitton bag every couple of weeks. Sickening. Sickening. This is what happens. This is the end. This is the station at the end of the line. This what's happening in Zimbabwe. So pay attention, douchebags. And speaking of Basasa, the chief executive of Armaments Corporation of South Africa, Kevin Wakeford. Now, this is another slimy man by the looks of things. On Monday, slammed allegations by a former Basasa COO, Angelo Agrizi, at the State Capture Inquiry as malicious, a gross fabrication, and a fabric of lies. Well, this is what Dudu Mieni said as well. But we know that between Dudu Mieni and Kevin Wakeford, there's about 1.2% credibility, and it's usually only when they're talking about their children.
1.2%.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, right? A statement issued on Wakeford's behalf confirmed that Arms Corps has officially been notified by the Zondo Commission that his name appears in the papers submitted to the Commission. Notwithstanding that he has not enjoyed the benefit and protection of the Commission's rules, he has stated he will cooperate. Oh, good. Oh, thanks so much, Kevin Wakeford. I'd like to know what, yeah, I'd like to know what's going on with you. We want a lifestyle audit of Kevin Wakeford. All those who are in favor, put your hands up. And those are the five things, or rather four of them, and my rant on Zimbabwe, that you need to know today. That's enough, right? That's plenty to go on.
Five is good enough, yes.
Mm-hmm. Bitcoin is at $3,431, Ethereum at $105. Those are the two cryptocurrencies that we're still trying to pay attention to, even though all of it is terribly depressing. Only because, you know, we were hoping that by this time, 2 years ago now, we were hoping, it's going to keep going up. How's that working out for us? Not so good, huh? Oh, no Ben today because it's Tuesday. I saw in his social media, he's in, Knysna? He's at
George
Fan Court, somewhere like that. I didn't see where it is. And plus, I don't know much about golf.
Yeah, the birdie of the eagle yeah. was under par with Mr. Gary Player.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're talking about Helen Ziller earlier, just before 6:30, we were mentioning that she's the one who would take on the tax revolt. So Musi Maimane came out and said the following. Let me quote directly from him.
He came out.
I do not support a tax revolt. Let's win the elections and demonstrate proper management of resources of our people's money. Let's use them for the benefit of all citizens. We will ensure the criminals end up in jail. Use your vote.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? If that's the choice, if I have to choose between Musi's watery comment about let's use the money for the benefit of all citizens and Helen saying we'll stop the rot by throttling it.
Yeah.
I'm with Helen. You know what, Musi? You are definitely not impressing me. And you've got three and a half months to get something that makes me feel like I want to give a vote to you. Same goes for Julius. Same goes for Cyril. You're all such boring, watered down, unvisionary, if there's such a word, losers. You're just all such losers. I don't want any of you to represent me in any way. I'm embarrassed that this is the quality of the people who are standing for election.
Mm.
At this stage, the only one I'm even considering is Monsieur Lekota. I mean that.
Wow.
I would go back to him.
He was not even in my frame of reference.
Exactly. Honestly, that's what I'm thinking at the moment. I'm not saying I'll vote for him, but I'm considering it far more than I am the vote for any of these other assholes. They are assholes. They really are. I mean, what's Cyril's lying in Davos about how we've got this influx of investment? Nonsense.
Mm.
He knows he's sailing a ship right towards an iceberg and he's doing nothing about it. He's seeing the iceberg coming up and he's doing nothing. We've got Musi Maimane who's trying desperately to be like the African Obama and doing no such thing in terms of improving the lives of anybody.
Have you noticed how he's changed his accent?
Oh God, it's ridiculous. He's such an actor. And Julius, who's just really a shit stirrer. I mean, between the three of them, there's no way I could vote for any of them. I don't think a vote for the major parties would be a good idea. That much is clear. Anyway. Okay, let's get on with it. Sia, you going to give us said by Sia?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where are you running off to? Sia's about to leave the studio.
Oh.
What are you?
Yes.
You need to go to the loo?
I needed to go to the ladies.
The ladies. You're not allowed into the ladies. This is
powder my news.
Yeah, all right. Let's get to said by Sia for this morning. Come on, take it away.
This is quite cool. There's a company called Means, M-E-A-N-S,
yes.
And it stands for Matching Excess and Needs for Stability. It's quite awesome. And look, it's being run by someone who's just in their early 20s. Her name is Maria Rose Belding. And she started off as a teenager volunteering her time for local soup kitchens in her community in the USA. And she just had a revelation at 15 years old when one day someone donated a whole bunch of mac and cheese, but it was soon about to go off. And she was like, well, what do we actually do about this? And when you look at the numbers, just in the US alone, 40% of food goes uneaten every single year.
40% of the food?
40% of food goes uneaten.
I can believe it. I see it with my own eyes in the shops.
Yeah, and if you now put a figure to that, that food is actually worth $165 billion every single year that Americans are throwing out. But let's not point fingers, because even with us, I'm exactly pretty sure same. We know it. Yep. After Christmas, just especially, you know, we definitely know that we're wasting a bunch of food. So Maria Rose Belding just thought there was surely some smarter way to work around this. And so that's when she created Means, Matching Excess and Needs for Stability. It's now a website that matches people who have food and people who need food together. And it's not necessarily on a person-to-person basis, but it's organizations like casinos who cater tons of food every single day, and the likes of a soup kitchen in the corner who might need more food. And I think this is so smart and is just absolutely incredible. So now the database has saved an estimated 4,000 pounds of food across the US, and they've connected more than 200 large-scale food banks. Isn't this just making a difference in a smarter way?
Sure it is.
I think it's absolutely incredible. But, you know, Maria's just one of those girls. She's in her early 20s. She's a medical student. She's won awards all across the world. So, shucks, she's quite an incredible person and makes me feel like, what am I doing with my life? But I think it's so cool. Maria Rose Belding, the founder of Means. I think if you have the time, just go and research more about her organization. I think they're doing incredible stuff. And that's said by Sia for this morning.
Very nice. Oh,
thank you, Sia. Mm-hmm. Okay, very nice.
I've seen at my one Woolworths, there is a van that comes from a home every day to take the food that's about to not expire, but just can't be sold in the shop anymore because it has an expiry date on it.
Yeah, and I mean, stuff usually lasts a little bit longer than the expiry date. And, you know, everybody goes, ah, but how can you give other people expired food?
It's like, it's going to expire tomorrow or the next day.
Correct. Would you rather they went hungry?
Yeah.
You know, just you're all full of principle when it comes to objecting to charity. But you don't seem to be doing anything. Anyway, it's very interesting. I mean, I see a lot of comments on, you know, we look at this tax revolt thing, which really is going to become a big issue. If you called a tax boycott a service delivery protest, it would enjoy much more acceptance in the media. You know, because service delivery protests get huge sympathy in the media. People burn tires and put them in the middle of the road, or they burn down a library, or they throw human feces at a statue. Then people call it service delivery protests.
Mm.
But if you withheld your tax, oh no, that's a tax revolt, which sounds much worse.
It does, yeah.
But it's actually a service delivery protest.
Yeah.
The two are the same.
Yeah.
It's just we've got these two sets of standards. Again, it's lefties in the media who say this. And I think that that's a very good point that was made by, I think, David Bullard on Twitter. So I think a lot of people are considering that there must be a way to do this. We've got to figure out how it can be done without everybody, because they can't put everyone in jail if we all decide to do this.
Yeah.
They can't put us all in jail. There's not enough space. Plus, mm-hmm. they can't even process. I mean, the courts are so far behind. The first one of us to be prosecuted will be prosecuted in 4 years' time. That kind of thing. So there's no way that they can figure this out. I mean, we know that this government's hopelessly incompetent. And I reckon we could do a class action thing. Or, you know, we open an account and we pay what we would have paid in taxes into that account. But we don't let the government get their filthy hands on it until they've cleaned up. I don't see how could anyone have a problem with that? You know, first of all, I think tax is basically theft. So anyone who is happy and comfortable with the idea that someone can come and take your money that you earned and then do what they want with it and not call that theft, I think you're misled. You've bought into bullshit. Graham, what's up?
Hey, how's it, guys, from Cape Town?
Yeah, how, you got those fires under control?
I think so. I'm still trying to work out if it's arson or if it's just an accident. It's very convenient. It seems to happen right by the expensive houses all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, the expensive houses are built on the edge of the reserves and the natural areas, and they're high up. You see, because they want a view. So, but don't knock rich people.
Don't
knock rich people. Cape Town wouldn't exist if it wasn't for rich people. It'd be a slum.
Exactly. I'm trying to get there. I'm looking at my town.
So. Right. So anyway, what's happening?
I just thought I'd be a little controversial and say, make Zimbabwe Rhodesia again.
Well, I don't know that you'd have that much opposition from people who know what it was like before and what it's like now. I mean, there are people actually starving to death. Anyway, thanks, dude.
All right, cool. Have a good one, guys. Thanks for the show.
A very controversial man, that. Okay, so you know what to do now. You can call us on 0861-555-189, and you can get straight through. We'll get into some news in a minute or two. There's plenty going on in the news. I want to talk a little bit about Venezuela because this is instructive, particularly when it comes to Zim. A lot of people are drawing parallels between the two of them and saying, you know what? This is entirely expected. This is predictable.
Mm. Oh, bless her. Oh, dear. And again.
God, I mentioned Venezuela and I start sneezing. It has a profound effect on me. Yeah, I know. It's terrible. All right, so we'll come back with that and a whole lot more. You know how to get hold of us. Call us if you want to. Message us on 0797482090.
This is CliffCentral.com.